She please bow with me over the offering. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you've given us. We ask that we may be able to give a small portion back, and that you may be able to use it to fill your kingdom and to help those in need. These things we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that His Spirit might touch your hearts this day, that it might penetrate, that we all might have that desire to serve Him. Brother Priest Caleb Postwaite will be bringing the invocation, and Priest Michael Hancock will be bringing us the benediction. And Stephanie Steve DeBira will be bringing us the message this day. Pastor Anderson, his behalf on your prayers. May we continue with hymn number 63.
Thank you. Dearest Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for this brisk morning. Lord, I'd ask that you be with our service today in power, and that you would give Steve the words that you would have us all hear, that we might be able to prepare our hearts to take those words into our lives and to share them with others. And please fill us with your Spirit today, that we might know that this message was of you, and that we might go forth boldly, and that we might witness to others those things that we've heard today. We ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
To preface the reading of this scripture with the statement that all of the scriptures that I read and that I refer to this morning will be from the Holy Scriptures of the Inspired Version, the Book of Mormon, the 1908 Authorized Version, and the Doctrine and Covenants, the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Version. I'm going to read a lengthy scripture this morning. I'm going to read all of the first section of that Doctrine and Covenants. So bear with me, and if you have your Doctrine and Covenants with you, read along. You may find some things in there that you haven't seen for a while, or that you may have passed over in your reading. Starting with the very first paragraph. Hearken, O ye people of my church, saith the voice of him who dwelleth on high, and whose eyes are upon all men. Yea, verily I say, hearken, ye people from afar, and ye that are upon the islands of the sea, listen together. For verily the voice of the Lord is unto all men, and there is none to escape. And there is no eye that shall not see, neither ear that shall not hear, neither heart that shall not be penetrated. And the rebellious shall be pierced with much sorrow, for their iniquities shall be spoken upon the housetops, and their secret acts shall be revealed. And the voice of warning shall be unto all people by the mouths of my disciples, whom I have chosen in these last days, and they shall go forth, and none shall stay them, for I, the Lord, have commanded them. Behold, this is mine authority, and the authority of my servants, and my preface unto the under the book of my commandments, which I have given them to publish unto you, O inhabitants of the earth. Wherefore fear and tremble, O ye people, for what I, the Lord, have decreed in them shall be fulfilled. And verily I say unto you, that they who go forth, hearing these tidings unto the inhabitants of the earth, bearing these tidings unto the inhabitants of the earth, to them is power given to seal both on earth and in heaven the unbelieving and rebellious, yea, verily, to seal them unto the day when the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the wicked without measure, unto the day when the Lord shall come to recompense unto every man according to his work, and measure to every man according to the measure which he has measured to his fellow man. Wherefore the voice of the Lord is unto the ends of the earth, that all that hear may hear. Prepare ye. Prepare ye for that which is to come, for the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in heaven, and it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth, and the arm of the Lord shall be revealed. And the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. For they have strayed from mine ordinances, and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness. But every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God. Those whose image is in the likeness of the world, and whose substance is that of an idol, which waxeth old, and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the great, which shall fall. Wherefore I, the Lord, knowing the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph Smith, Jr., and spake unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments, and also gave commandments to others, that they should proclaim these things unto the world, and all this that it might be fulfilled which was written by the prophets. The weak things of the world shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones, that man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God the Lord, even the Savior of the world, that faith also might increase in the earth, that mine everlasting covenant might be established, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed by the weak and the simple unto the ends of the world, and before kings and rulers. Behold, I am God and have spoken it. These commandments are of me, and were given unto my servants in their weakness, after the manner of their language, that they might come to understanding. And inasmuch as they erred, it might be made known, and inasmuch as they sought wisdom, they might be instructed. And inasmuch as they sinned, they might be chastened, that they might repent. And inasmuch as they were humble, they might be made strong, and blessed from on high, and receive knowledge from time to time. And after having received the record of the Nephites, yea, even my servant Joseph Smith Jr. might have power to translate, through the mercy of God, by the power of God, the Book of Mormon. And also those to whom these commandments were given might have power to lay the foundation of this church, and to bring it forth out of obscurity and out of darkness, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, which I, the Lord, am well pleased, speaking unto the church collectively and not individually. And I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven. And he that repents not, from him shall be taken even the light which he has received. For my spirit shall not always strive with man, saith the Lord of hosts. And again, verily I say unto you, O inhabitants of the earth, I, the Lord, am willing to make these things known unto all flesh, for I am no respecter of persons. And I will that all men shall know that the day speedily cometh, the hour is not yet, but is nigh at hand, when peace shall be taken from the earth, and the devil shall have power over his dominion, and also the Lord shall have power over his saints, and shall reign in their midst, and shall come down in the judgment upon Idumea, or the world. Search these commandments, for they are true and faithful, and the prophecies and promises which are in them shall be fulfilled. What I, the Lord, have spoken, I have spoken, and I excuse not myself. And though the heavens and the earth pass away, my word shall not pass away, but shall be fulfilled, whether by mine own voice or by the voice of my servants, it is the same. For behold, and lo, the Lord is God, and the Spirit beareth record, and the record is true, and the truth abideth forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
gentlemen. Thank you. When Brother Dan called me and asked me if I would preach, I, of course, without hesitation, said sure. And as I, through the course of time, of course, I've shared and preached in other places. And one of the things and recurring themes that continues to raise up in my thoughts and in the thoughts of many of the other brethren is, where do we go from here? It seems that the church has been in a state of flux for some time in the hearts and minds of many. But for some of us, I don't believe that that's true. What I believe is that the church is doing exactly what God had intended it to do. I think that we are in the throes of a cleansing that is taking place throughout the land, and well, throughout the world. I was thinking about that also. A very difficult thing to do is to preach while someone else is translating into another language what you're saying. And if you listen closely and if you understand the other language, sometimes they don't get it quite right. And I know there have been several times when I've had to stop the person doing the translation and say, well, let's try this word because it translates a little bit better. And then, of course, I have to be at the mercy of the person translating and God in languages that I don't know and understand. For instance, when I was preaching in India, I would preach as many as 4 and 5 times in one day, and every time it would be in a different language. And it all sounded the same to me. They were all different sermons, and so I wasn't sure if I was conveying the message that I felt led to convey, or if the person that was translating was doing a very literal translation, therefore losing some of the context, and so I was at their mercy. Today it's different. I'm hoping that everyone in here, and as I look around, I'm almost certain, can understand pretty clearly the words that I speak. There shouldn't be any doubt when we're done what the meanings are and what the course of action should be for each of us as we walk from this place that we've gathered. I read in its entirety the first section of the Doctrine and Covenants for a very specific reason this morning. We have a tendency, we meaning the saints in the church, have a tendency to study the Word of God in different venues, in different forums, and within different interpretations of what God's Word is to us. And I think if you read section 1 of the Doctrine and Covenants, it's very specific that God had a plan. We know He had a plan in His creation because through His Son Jesus, all things were created. Now, if you question that, you can go to the first chapter of John, the very first verse, that all things were created through Jesus by the hand of God. And God knew exactly what was going to take place. But He still gave man His agency to perform that which He performed here on this earth. He gives all of us that opportunity to do what we've been called to do. If Eve had not partaken of the forbidden fruit, everything would still be in the Garden of Eden. But God knew that eventually Eve would succumb to that temptation. And by doing so, fulfilled the destiny of man. We were called for one thing and one reason. Each of us were born to receive the word of God and to be able to act upon that word of God in our lives so that we can fulfill God's pleasure in us. Now, it happened in the Garden of Eden, and the consequences of sin in the Garden of Eden were enormous. The magnitude was more than we can actually understand or feel ourselves, because these two human beings were living in a state of paradise. There was nothing that could hurt them. They had dominion over everything, over all of them animals. They had dominion over all, everything that was there. God gave them that, and He gave them their agency. Once they sinned against God, once they committed that sin, God cast them from that perfect state. And then they became like us. And we very much are like them. When we're first born, we're without sin. We're perfect. And as we grow in stature, we, as we read in the Doctrine and Covenants, live in the dominion of Satan. We are no longer under total control of God's hand. We're no longer totally in the dominion of God. We're in God and Satan's dominion. If you question that, when Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days, he came back. He was taken to the pinnacle, and the very first thing he was tempted with by Satan was food. Because he had been in the wilderness for 40 days, had fasted for 40 days, had not partaken of food for 40 days, and Satan says, man, this guy's going to be hungry. Here, turn this stone into bread. Well, Jesus said, I'm not going to do that. And he said something very profound. He said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Well, we should be a part of today in our society, in our lives, in our families, is we should live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. We should continue to strive for that perfection. If you're concerned about perfection and say, I can't be perfect, even Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew that I command you to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So it's not something that we cannot attain. It is something that's very doable in our lives. In the first section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we're told that God does not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. What does that mean? Now, if you've traveled any outside this country, and I say that because we're a very multicultural society. We have a lot of everything here. It's very homogenous. If you look at societies outside of this country, they are very steeped in tradition and culture. It can be good and it can be bad. In some cultures that I have participated in as far as the gospel, it's okay to lie because it's only a white lie and it's only a small one and it's not going to hurt anybody. But it's okay to lie. In God's culture, it's not any good. There's a consequence for lie. I'm suggesting here that, you know, there are multicultures throughout the world. There's a lot of traditions that man has become very enmeshed in. But there are really only two cultures that we should be involved with. That is, the culture of God is what we should be involved in. We should be teaching God's culture. That is, basically, the two commandments that Jesus taught. When the teachers came to him and said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, to love God with all thy might, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. How simple can that be? God said, while he was here in the flesh, it's this simple, just keep these two commandments. But if you get into the world, it's very difficult because there's a lot of gray areas. They call them gray. See, that's what happens when you mix black and white, you get gray. So a white lie is really a gray lie, because what you've done is you've taken God in his word and mixed it a little bit with the black, which is Satan, and come up with gray. So when somebody says, well, it's just a white lie, they're lying to you right there because it's gray. It's a mix of what they believe to be okay and what God said isn't okay. God said in his very own word, in the very first section of the Doctrine and Covenants, I look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. There's nothing cultural about it. I'll tell you something very strange about culture, and most of you probably all already know this. In the Islamic culture, they're very pro-jihadist. Well, you can talk to them all you want, and they'll tell you everything they want, and they're telling you little white lies while they're doing it, but they're very anti anything that's not Islamic. Yet, if you, as a Gentile, go into a village and need their help and say, help me, they will defend that right to defend you and help you to their death. against the jihad. They'll do it against the Taliban. They'll do it against everybody. They're so steeped in culture. It's one of those dichotomies of truth and lie that they live. The point is, God set down his commandments. They're very simple. As Moses came out of the mountain, he had on a tablet, so we read, 10 commandments. They're pretty simple, yet for centuries, the scholars have dissected, bisected, torn apart, written backwards, upside down, even to the very word of each one of those commandments. What did he really mean by the? What does that sound like? We've even seen that in some of our contemporary leaders. They dissect and they cut and they tear apart everything that's true. So Jesus said, let's make this as simple as possible. Love God. Love your neighbor. Well, through the course of time, and I'm not going to rehearse all of the history that we have in the past, that Jesus came. We all know that. We wouldn't be in here for the most part if we didn't believe that Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth, taught his gospel, his meaning God's gospel, God's word, that we should obey. He came here, was ridiculed, crucified. He died on a cross. He bore the sins of the world. He was resurrected from the dead, brought again that message throughout a short period of time, and was resurrected. It didn't end there. And again, without rehearsing all of what took place, he told his 11 disciples on the mount, as he was getting ready to be taken into the heavens, to go forth and spread the kingdom of God, to go forth and call men to repent, to go forth and share my gospel, my word, to the world. These 11 men took it to heart. They went back and they said, wow, we've experienced quite a bit in the last 3 years. What a ride. All the way to the guy that was teaching us, our master, our teacher, our scholar, even that who we believed to be heavenly, died on the cross, was resurrected. We saw it take place. So when the angel said, men, what are you doing standing here? Didn't he tell you to go do something? And they said, yes. And then what did they do? They went and locked themselves in a room because now they were scared. You know why they were scared? Not just because Jesus wasn't with them anymore to protect them. It was that doubt was starting to creep in. Satan was starting to have his way with them, with their minds, with their hearts. They were starting to fall back into tradition. And one of the greatest things that happened, not only the advent of Jesus was great, not only the actual Jesus while he taught was great, but when another one of the greatest events in the history of mankind took place in that room, when the Holy Ghost in a rushing wind and tongues of fire came and rested upon those apostles, and they with great, great exuberance, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, went out and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ that day and converted, as the scriptures say, over 3,000 souls. They did that because they had a faith in God, and because the gift that God said he was going to send came upon them in great power. It was so powerful that in a very short time they had many, many, many believers coming to them, and they were starting to develop a condition. It's a condition very much like Enoch City. When God came down to Enoch City, before he called the city Zion, he called the people Zion. Why? Because they were of one heart and one mind, and they dwelt in righteousness. And these people were doing the same thing. It was by the power of God Almighty, by the power of the Holy Ghost that came upon them, and that very flash of fire and that rushing wind. And they went out, and by the very power of their word, people were converted. Even to the point when they began to convert and bring them to the Zionic condition of the kingdom of God and said, bring all of your resources to us that all might have, that all might be equal, that all might, there might be no poor among us. Repent of your sins and let's have that holy city once again here on this earth. And people, even to that very point, were doing the things that they were steeped in tradition to do, to tell the little white lie. And the example was Ananias. He sold his portion, and he told the apostle, you know what? yeah, I gave it all to you. But he held back a little bit. And he conspired with his wife, who he said, well, now when they ask you, you tell them, yeah, this is all I got. So Ananias said it. Bam! Guy dropped dead. By the power of the Holy Ghost, he gave up the ghost. And they came, and it says they wrapped him. I don't know if you've ever seen them do that. They actually do this in that part of the world. Most of them are buried the same day they die. They come in with a gauze-like cloth, and they just wrap them up, just like a mummy, wrap them up, and they carried him out. Well, they carried this guy out, buried him. His wife came in a little later, and the apostle gave her a chance. He said, how much did you sell the property for? Did you sell it for this much? She said, oh, yeah, yeah. Drop dead right there. It says she gave up the ghost. And he said, he told her that the men who buried your husband are at the door. And they've come for you. Because you lied to God. Doctrine and Covenants, first chapter, talks about that. What are we going to be? Are we going to be God's people? Or are we going to be the people of the world? Are we going to be the ones that tell the little white lie and it turns into a gray, mishy-mashy, yucky gook? Or are we going to stand toe to the line and tell the white truth? Which is it going to be? It says here in this first chapter. In fact, I watched Karen mouthing the words in a couple of places because it was exciting. It touched her heart. And I'll bet you that I know that one of them had to do with Zion. When she was mouthing the words, said, faith also might increase in the earth that mine everlasting covenant might be established. That's when she did that. That should have touched your heart. It should have pricked it like a needle. It should have caused your spirit to boo and to tremble just a little bit. You know why? Because that's the hope that we have. The problem with the world today is they have no hope. They don't have any hope. You can talk Jesus all you want, but if you don't act Jesus, you don't give them anything. If they don't know that you're different just by the way you act, what you say isn't going to amount to a hill of beans. So what am I saying here? I guess what I'm saying is this. In Luke, we're told that no man having put his hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom of God, that looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. The saints of God today are continually looking over their shoulder, rehearsing all of the terrible things that have happened in their life, rehearsing all of the things that have happened within the body of Christ. They're rehearsing it over and over and over. And they have forgotten that once they put their hand to the plow, you got to plow. Well, you farmers know this. To plow a state line, you're not going to plow a state line by going like this. You can't do it. You can't even walk a straight line. It's just like on a motorcycle. You turn your head, that's where that motorcycle's going to go. I've seen it happen to guys. They get weird. They'll start watching, you know, you watch pictures of some guy starts a motorcycle and runs into a wall. It's because he's going like this. Took his eye off the goal. Farmers do that. And Jesus used that example. No man having put his hand to the plow that looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I'm here to proclaim to you that the kingdom of God is at hand. Just as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. We stand on the precipice of one of the greatest events in the history of the world. And that's the establishment of a city, of a kingdom, of a place of refuge for the world. We stand right there on the precipice, and what did we do? We looked back. We lost sight of the goal. So the call today is to refocus. To set your eye back on He who called us. If you responded to His word, you responded to the word of Jesus Christ. You responded to the word of God. It says in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 17, there's a verse here. It's in the sixth verse. It says, And we know that these things are true and according to the revelations of John, neither adding to nor diminishing from the prophecy which shall come hereafter by the gift and power of the Holy Ghost, the voice of God, or the ministering of angels. I didn't hear that one this morning, George, but that's very important. When you read what the ministry of angels is, this is to call men to repentance. So if the angels have come to call men to repentance, and we listen and heed the word, then we're open to listening to the word of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus said, I will send unto you another comforter, he sent the comforter. It's at our beck and call. The only reason we can't feel it or respond to it or sense it is because of the sin in our lives. And that's why God gave us the ministry of angels. That's why God gave us elders, to call men to repentance, to bring them to the decision-making process that each man has to come to at some point in their life, to accept that either Jesus is the Son of God, and that by him and through him you may have the gift of eternal life, or without him you may be damned for eternity. You don't hear that much anymore, but I'll tell you this. You either accept it or reject it, and if you reject it, the consequence is real. The consequence is eternal life in hellfire and damnation. Now, I have a lot of friends who don't want to talk about the consequences of sin. They teach and preach and promote a more social gospel. One that's all lovey-dovey, put your arms around each other, say you believe in Jesus, but we don't have to listen to every one of the commands that came forth out of his mouth. And I know there are a lot of people who have a struggle with love thy neighbor as thyself. And the reason I know that is, all you have to do is turn any TV station on and watch for an advertisement, and what it'll talk about is a way to make yourself more beautiful, make yourself more presentable. You can see it in billboards, you can see it in magazines, you can see even hear it amongst the talk, amongst people. You have to wear the right clothes, the right makeup, the right deodorant. Don't want to smell or offend anybody. The only one you're offending is God. If we can't love ourselves, how can we love our neighbor? And if we can't love our neighbor, how can we love God? It's that simple. Okay, I'm gonna roll this all up into a ball here and then hand it to you, and you guys can do with it whatever you want. First thing is that as an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ in the last days, I believe this, and I believe it with all my heart. I was called to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ on the earth here in the last days. And that mankind, if they will respond to the word of God and repent and be baptized by one in authority, they can become a part of the kingdom of God here on earth in these last days. If they reject that, I'm sorry, I feel bad, I really do. But I have to go on and teach the next guy. Our call as an organization and as a group here is to fulfill the word of God in a different way. And that is to bring about the condition to where God will call you once again the people of Zion. Because once the people of Zion have captured that understanding and that feeling, and it becomes a part of everything they do every day, then he will come down and say, this city is Zion. And then he'll call that the city of Zion. And then what happens is one of the greatest events that I've been looking for in my lifetime. I don't know if it'll happen. I'm hoping. I go by that hope all the time. Now, you may think this is nuts, but I think it's up to you. It's not up to me. I do my job. I do it the best I can. It's not always the best that you may think it is, and that's okay too. I may not interpret things the same way you do. That's okay too. But the bottom line is I still go out and I preach the gospel and I preach the word of God and I try to bring people to that understanding. And I tell people now, you see that place in Independence? Go. Once you capture that and you have a full understanding, you need to get there. Now, it's hard around the world. I'm getting ready to leave for Mexico in Central America. I'll be gone, well, right now it looks like 3 months. So I'll be gone most of December, January, February. I know I'll be back in time for conference. I may be gone a while. But that doesn't mean that the kingdom of God is going to stop moving forward. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to be able to come back and be strengthened and nurtured by the saints of God in the center place. That's my hope. My hope is that when I come back, I can be strengthened and nurtured by those that are here. And I know that sooner or later, the walls and the barriers of the world by borders and by passports and all of those other things won't have any impact at all on the people who of God who want to gather. That they'll be able to come to this place. But you know what? They can't come until it's ready, until it's been prepared. And that's the burden that I lay at your feet today. You, saints and friends, are the ones that are going to be responsible for building that condition that God will once again look upon a people and say, this is Zion. Because there are no poor amongst them, and they dwell in righteousness. And ultimately, they will be sanctified by the Lord God, and it will be a beacon to the world. And when I say go, there will be no way that they can be lost, because that beacon will be so bright on that hill that all they'll have to do is follow it. My prayer is for you. My prayer that you'll seek the Word of God. My prayer is that you will have a fuller understanding of God's call to you. My prayer is that you will become that righteous, sanctified people that God will once again call Zion. And that when the two meet again, no matter where I'm at, I'll be able to feel that earth tremble and the heavens cry with joy. Because the fulfillment of the prophecies of old will have been fulfilled in what took place here in this place.
Thank you, Brother Steve, and I hope that we all might take to heart the message that he brought to us this day, that we might see Zion come forth. In closing, may we sing hymn number 201, Redeemer of Israel.
Father. Thank you, Lord, for the chance that you've provided each of us this morning to come to this house of worship. Thank you for allowing your Spirit to dwell here with us, to uplift us. Thank you for blessing your servant to share the message this morning. Pray, Lord, that each of us might embrace the responsibility we have to uplift one another, to put our needs second to those around us. We pray that you will help us become that people that you've called us to be. And ask that as we close this service, that you will continue to allow your Spirit to be with us this Sabbath day, that we can continue to spend time worshiping and appreciating all that you do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I have to stay here for